Yo, what's going on, everybody? Episode 42 of the Comic-Con podcast. The team is back together. I am one of your hosts of the evening, the one, the only Nemesis Prime, Varian Whore, Justin. Man, it's been good to be back. I had an issue last week, hurt myself, hurt my back. I was actually in the ER. I was on crutches for 2 days, an absolute shit show. But, you know, my man Manimal took over by himself. I listened to it, and it was a great episode. We're going to get right into the episode. And, of course, Manimal, say what's up.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back, man. Doctor said you needed a bacchiotomy, so you had to go in and get checked out. Yeah, no, last week, solo, and it's rough going solo because you just keep talking. You're not bouncing things off of anyone. So it's, I'm glad you're back. It's definitely a lot more fun to, you know, talk about these things with someone else rather than just myself. Cause I know what I'm thinking in my head. So,
yeah. But I texted you, and for anybody, you know, for the people that are listening out there, I listen to these episodes every week. I'll tell you, you know, when I was on YouTube, I never rewatched myself and shit live shows.
Right.
But every Friday morning when these go up, I definitely either listen to it Friday at some point or late Friday. And, you know, listening to Zach talk, it was great. I absolutely loved your Carnage review. I thought that was hilarious. I think you did a great job by yourself. And
well, I appreciate
you know, I told
it.
You that. So
yeah, you did. I was like, oh wow, is he fucking with me or is he
no, like, well, I did. It was awesome. So, you know, definitely if you haven't checked out episode 41, please do. Zach did an absolute stellar job by himself. But this is episode 42. And, you know, we're here recording it on October 28th, almost the end of October, which is crazy.
Yeah.
We do have a jam-packed show. I don't know if we're going to get to everything that we really want to talk about tonight. But, of course, we're going to get right into our community section. And I know this one is coming from our friend.
Harsh Life.
Buddy, Harsh Life Spotlight over there in Texas. So why don't you kind of start this one? Because we were just watching the video that he sent to us on the Comic-Con podcast at gmail.com. And unfortunately, this is not really like a video podcast and it's a long thing. So you'd really have to watch his video, but we watched it and we definitely want to bring it to the attention of the comic book community.
Yeah. So I've known Harsh for a couple of years now. Caleb lives here in El Paso. Gone to a couple cons together here, the El Paso Comic Con. We interacted a bunch when I used to be on another channel. So I've known Caleb and Harsh Life for quite a while. So we text every once in a while and he hit me up and he's like, dude, I got this story I got to tell you and maybe you guys can put it on the podcast. And I was like, perfect, dude. Actually, send it to the email because he said, I'll put it into a video because it's kind of confusing, which it kind of is if you're not like, if you don't know what's going on. So he sent it over. So I guess so in a nutshell, and help me describe this, because like I said, it is a little confusing if you're not like in the know necessarily. So he took part in a competition. So Key Collector Comics and Comic Tom did a competition where they had people make, I think, comic book sounds with their mouth, like record it kind of funny. And then top winner would win a prize of like $1,000 to, was it My Comic Shop? Is that what it was?
Basically, yes.
Yeah. So you send in a little video. And people vote on who had the best sound or whatnot. And it was supposed to be open for a 24-hour period of time. So, you know, Harsh kind of mentioned it to me as well and said it in the video that he thought it was, you know, not a great idea to have people be voting on it also because it does kind of become like a bit of a popularity contest rather than, you know, I guess whoever had the best sound, which honestly I'm kind of bummed in the video. I was like, oh, I want to know what sound you did. Like, did you deserve to win? It's kind of what I'm thinking in my head, you know?
So I know you didn't listen. So there's two sounds. I saw the five people that entered and the one sound was something with Thor, had to do something with about Thor, his hammer. And then another one was a screeching Godzilla.
So now, you could do either one?
Yeah, that's basically what it looked like, according to the thing. So it was kind of like Thor just like throwing down a hammer and like this roaring Godzilla. And I guess you basically could do one of the two. And, you know, I would say two people did Thor, two people did the Godzilla, and then one guy did basically both of them in a mixed, video, I should say.
So there was just five people that competed.
I don't know if it was the top five, like the finalists, or
something. Okay.
Yeah, I guess those were the five best that Key Collector and Comic Tom picked.
Okay.
That's how I would say it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that entered into this.
Right. So they put it up, and I guess people voted for a 24-hour period of time. And for most of the running, the 24-hour period of time, Harsh was winning. And I think by a pretty based on the numbers he was showing, and he has proof to back it up. I mean, he was showing he screenshotted and screen recorded his feed and was showing like, hey, this is what it looked like at 12 hours, 13 hours, blah, blah, blah. And you can see that he's winning by a substantial amount for the majority of the time. So then it gets to the 24-hour period and he's the winner, right? Isn't that how it went? And then
the 24-hour mark, based on what this was supposed to be ending in 24 hours, not 32, not 40 hours, he would have won based on the post alone on Key Collector.
Right.
Now, another issue happened where then Comic Tom, of course, posted it or reposted the same thing. And then what happens is with that is then people are also voting on Comic Tom's Instagram post. Now, if, and Zach is going to get into this, but people shouldn't have been on Comic Tom's post, you know, basically saying number one, number three, number five, whatever it was, because people were voting. Now, if people were voting, wouldn't you just take that down? You should just take that post down because
right.
At the end of the day, there was a message between Caleb and Key Collector and he stating that, oh, Comic Tom was just reposting and his votes didn't count. Well, anybody who's anybody, if you're seeing notifications or getting notifications,
right.
And I don't care how big you are, but if you keep getting comments that are just numbers, don't you think that there's an issue there?
Yeah. And look, I was going to kind of save this opinion to like the end of the conversation, but I mean, come on, dude. Like, what are you? Stupid. Like Comic Tom is on Instagram all the time promoting. Like he doesn't know what he's doing here. And if you fucked it up that bad, like bro, then you shouldn't be running contests. Like if you didn't know this was going to be moderately confusing, like, you're probably an idiot, which actually wouldn't surprise me. But so there was double voting. And I think actually Caleb even kind of came and cleaned it up and was like, oh, okay, look, I went through them and I saw these people double voted and here's the actual votes and they still tally and add more to mine and I'm still winning. Mm-hmm. And then there was a whole like situation where the votes went on for longer than the 24-hour period. And
well,
so
longer than 24 hours.
It was like, I think he said 5 hours longer. Is that correct? Something like that?
Yeah, it was definitely well more than, like I said, you know, it wasn't just like, oh, 25 hours just to get a couple. No, it was a few hours post that.
So it gets
and here's
to
another
the,
thing real quick. Oh, yeah. When he was, when you, what you were saying about how there was, you know, how Harsh Life, he kind of cleaned it up and said, you know, here are the non-duplicates. The thing was, Key Collector's like, oh, well, we wouldn't be able to separate the duplicates. We
wouldn't be able to do it. And this guy just did it.
it's pretty simple. There's a website that lets you feed out like Instagram comments and YouTube comments, and you can even hit the little button. You click a little box that says, you know, separate duplicates. It's not the hardest thing in the world because people do it every day on YouTube follower giveaways and comment giveaways. Like I've used it before. Like it's not the hardest thing in the world to do. I'm sure Nick, a Key Collector, can figure it out.
Right.
And if you can't, you're really not that smart.
So it goes on to the end. And then it's like, I guess, Harsh Life is showing like as it's getting to the 29th hour or whatever, just as he gets like passed at the finish line, so to speak, it then conveniently closes. And so someone else wins. So a couple things, you know, and I want to be fair. Like, I mean, Harsh is a buddy of mine. And I wasn't remotely surprised when I heard that, oh, shadiness. Oh, what? Shadiness with Key Collector and Comic Tom? Come on, dude. The fact that the community, I'm going to talk about this real quick. The fact that the community, like, constantly there is shadiness around these two. And so it's just like, I don't get it. Like, the people in the community that still, there's so many other comic book influencers and people who produce, you know, information and content out there that don't have any drama. None, bro. None. Like, so how can this guy, these two guys constantly have drama? And like, how are you not seeing this? Like, where there's smoke, there's fire. Like constantly, bro. These guys. And, you know, people will respond like, oh, that's because they're just so big and they're haters. Look, they're not that big. Okay, first off. Comic Tom sleeps on the floor of hotel rooms at San Diego Comic Con. Like when I went out there, the dude couldn't even afford his own hotel room. So they're not that big. Okay. Let's stop treating them like they're celebrities here. They're out on Whatnot Wednesdays, you know, peddling their wares all the time. Like these aren't like people that we should be like, oh, in awe of by any means. So it's insane to me that people are still like, think that no, they're good guys. They're doing stuff for the community. They're not. They're doing stuff for themselves. They're narcissists and they're selfish human beings. They don't do shit for the community. They only do shit for themselves. That's the truth. So, you know, all this stuff with Caleb and it's just, it's crazy. It is that you kind of look at it and you're like, look, there's so many like coincidences here. Something definitely went wrong. Or the only answer, like we both have said, is they're just like completely moronic. Like, I don't even know.
And it's interesting because if you look at the congratulations winners page of Key Collector, as of right now, I'm looking at it and I counted it just before we went live. There was a total of 10 comments and 9 of those 10 comments all say the word recount. So clearly people know that that's wrong. Like
right.
The person who won should not have won. And the fact that it's so close, it's 71 to 67 votes. And then third prize is 51. The 51 to 67 is a big gap. All of a sudden, the first to second, they kind of wanted it to be like a really close race. And I'm pretty sure at the 24-hour mark, it wasn't a close race. Like Caleb won it fair and square. And I don't even know him from a hole in the wall. All I know is, you know, every now and then he reposts our stuff. He's a listener. That's awesome. We love that. But for me, like after watching that video, I completely agree with him. I think it's completely shady. I think he should have won. I think it was, if I knew about it, I would have voted for him. I thought it was pretty funny. His Godzilla scream. I didn't really understand.
I didn't get to hear it. Yeah, I'd like to hear it.
I didn't really understand the Thor thing, but you know, whatever. And the person, the McCormicks who won was a father and son. And it was kind of like a back and forth, like actual long video. I feel like the whole objective was just to make a sound, not to make like a whole video about it.
Yeah. So. You know, here's the deal too. Like if they're doing, I understand like reposting and trying to bring attention to it, but as far as I know, this wasn't, and correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, here, because I might be, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. I don't believe this post was Comic Tom's first post on Instagram ever, right? Is that correct?
No,
this wasn't his first time
he's
ever
been
posted
for a while.
So, okay. So,
about 5,300 posts, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So, it would stand to reason that if you've posted in the past, that you would know, like, hey, we're doing this giveaway, blah, blah, blah. Go to at Key Collector Comics to vote. Like, if that was the case, that's what you should have put on there. The fact that you didn't is so confusing. And then if that's your fault, like if you didn't mean to do that, well, now you have to roll with that punch. Like you'd be like, well, shit, we kind of messed that up, but I guess we're now, it's going to be a headache because we got to count it from two pages, but that's our fault. We didn't explain it well enough. So you have to eat it and do it because that's the right thing to do, you know? Like, So I don't know, man. So Harsh won second. He got, what, $300? Or he's supposed to get $300. Yeah. He's skeptical whether he will or not, which honestly would be hilarious if he did.
And we've seen the messages because he sent it to us in a video.
Yeah, so the screenshots between Nick, who's a complete idiot as well, to Harsh, you know, are pretty hilarious. But yeah, man, so that's unfortunate. Shout out to Harsh, bro. Good luck. Hopefully you get that $300 and, you know.
And he even said it like in the video to us that if he would have won the $1,000, like he would have spread it out and brought it back to the community. Like it's not something that he wanted to keep, you know, just spending $1,000 to himself.
And, right. I think he said he would make a purchase for himself and then the rest he was going to do community, which badass, bro. I mean, that's awesome.
I mean, hell, that's just awesome. And that's the type of person you want in the comic book community and Instagram community that's giving it back to people, you know. I've gotten books or won raffles and won giveaways and, you know, I've raffled things off or given away books in like a giveaway that it's fun, you know, a Whatnot thing. Like I bought a book on Whatnot. Trying to think who I bought it from, Strange Tales to Collect. I bought a CGC book a couple weeks ago. I did it as a giveaway for like whoever spent the most amount of money. It was like a CGC 9.8 book.
Yeah.
And I, but you know what? I spent money on that book but now I'm out. Like, you know, like I didn't keep it for myself. I gave it away to a follower or someone that bought from me because I appreciate that. That's what it's all about, giving away books and giving stuff back to the community.
Right. Like if you claim that that's what you do, and then even like your fanatic followers, they're like, oh, no, they do so much for the community. He does so much for the community. Look, dude, if you do so much for the community and you guys are so good for the community, and you clearly knew that he wasn't happy with the way things went down, you would address that situation rather than just be like, oh, okay, no, you know, that's just how it is. Like, you know, he won. Like, you would address that situation. Like, you would try to make it work, fix it. Mm-hmm. Or even like, oh, God, I don't know, count up the other votes. Like, sorry, Nick, you're so busy with your app. Like, what the fuck are you doing all day that you can't count these votes? Like, Jesus, dude. Do it by hand with a piece of paper. Like, goddamn, dude, you know. I don't imagine it had like 4,000 votes. I mean, God.
Yeah. But clearly, you know, like I said, it was 71 to 67 to 51. And then you figure there was two more people that didn't even come close. So
right.
What did you have? Maybe another, let's call it 50 votes. You're going to tell me you couldn't get up to 300 people? Like,
I mean, you're again, so good to the community. You know, you figured you'd do that. So
yeah, not that.
Anyway, that sucks. You know, Harsh definitely, I will say this, and he kind of knows what I'm talking about, but I told you so, bro. I told you so. And he even messaged me on text. He's like, dude, you warned me, and I did warn you, and now you know. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. So anyway, good little comic drama there from the community. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some drama for sure. So, of course, kind of let's get into some news, whether it's movie, TV, or anything comic book related. Let's first kick off. So of course, last week, if you listened to Zach talk about, he did talk about all the DC fandom, a lot of the movies that DC is going to be putting out, of course, Black Adam, The Flash, Aquaman, and of course the Batman. I really don't want to go back into it. You know, he did a great job of describing all the trailers and his breakdowns. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'm excited for all of them. Of course, number one, the Batman, but some little things that I guess a lot of people didn't really know that came out of DC fandom. But DC did, and this is over at comicbook.com. This is an article that they did post last week. So DC comic fans are going to be getting a lot more of their animated films in 2022. One of them being the Green Lanterns, which is going to be awesome because we haven't seen a Green Lanterns animated movie in a while. Another one called Catwoman Hunted, which is a very anime, like Japanese anime style of animation. And probably the one that surprised me, and no one's really talked about this, is the Super Son. So we're going to be getting Damian Wayne and John Kent's Superboy. But the interesting thing about this is going to be the first time that DC Comics is going with a CG movie other than the Batman Ninja, which was done by a completely different studio. So I think we could be getting like an a la, you know, Spider-Verse type thing. Right?
So is it Super Sons, like the early one before John Kent gets aged up?
Yeah. So based,
you know, like where, you know, he goes in space or whatever.
Yeah. So based on, of course, that the issues that Patrick Gleason did.
Gotcha.
When they were younger. So it's called Battle of the Super Sons. It's going to be the first CG animated film based on a DC property. Looking like it's going to be coming out next year. So, of course, we're going to be getting Superboy, Robin. I'm sure we're going to see, you know, some Clark Kent, some Lois Lane, maybe Bruce, Talia. Who else who else is going to come out of that? But, you know, I'm excited because if they do it like the series has been done, you know, in that first series, because there was two series. There was the Super Sons, and then there was a follow-up, I remember, it was called Adventures of the Super Sons. And both of the series were great. But that first series really... to me, put a great stamp on Damian Wayne because he's my favorite Robin. And John Kent, there's always the different iterations of like Superboy, mm-hmm. but with this one being a newer character, and of course now what we were talking about a few weeks ago, I think the Super Sons movie is going to be something that we're going to be looking forward to for 2022. What do you think on that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really read Super Sons. I was reading like Action Comics and Batman Detective and all that. And there was an awesome dynamic between the two of them, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Damian's not my favorite Robin, but he's always kind of suffered from having that little, like, you know, he's got an attitude problem type situation. Mm-hmm. So it was always cool to see him actually kind of bond with Jonathan Kent, who is just, you know, naive and a good person and just like totally different than Damian. But then they bond over like, you know, Bat-Cow and like their animals. And like you get to see a side that you get to see the child side of Damian that you rarely ever see. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was cool. It was a cool dynamic.
Yeah, especially in like the Batman, like Batman Inc. You got to see a little bit of that of Damian. And then in the Robin series that he was in with that big, with Goliath. The big beast thing. And even now in the Robin series, I love that series.
Oh, it's great.
DC Comics. It's really awesome with the whole Lazarus tournament and the more recent issues that had all the Robins come back for this little story arc. So
they also have a Robins like series coming out here.
Yes.
And I think it might be a mini series. I'm not sure how many issues, but all the Robins interacting together, which is going to be awesome.
Well, I'm actually glad you kind of talked about that because I did read the first issue because right now it's digital.
Oh, okay.
They're kind of doing digital first. But it is coming out, I believe, in November. I think it is a 6-issue miniseries. I absolutely love the first issue. You know, this is probably could be talking about this in a week once we get past what are we currently reading. But I guess I'll talk about it real quick. It's a very touching issue. If you're a Robin fan, the majority of the issue has all the Robins, and including Stephanie Brown, because she was a Robin at one point.
Often
kind of sitting around like the dinner table or around the table, all, you know, shooting shit, just chatting. And then a crime goes down, and this is really not too much of a spoiler, but a crime goes down, and then they find out that there's another Robin basically at the end. So it could be a first appearance. So if it does come, you know, when it does come out, I would definitely pick up that first issue, but thoroughly enjoyed the first issue. There's a lot of back and forth banter, especially because, you know, you have Stephanie Brown, who was the shortest term Robin, and you get Jason Todd and Damian in the same room, and Dick and Tim. So it's a great series, and I'm definitely going to be picking up all 6 issues. And I've seen like the covers, and even like the varying covers that they're doing are very interesting. So that's going to be a really good series when it comes out. But let's kind of skip around a little bit. Why don't you talk about your Marvel thing that's coming out next year?
Man, I'm really excited. If you don't know, everyone knows I'm a big X-Men fan, but I'm also probably like my next favorite franchise, if you will, is Ghost Rider. I'm a massive Ghost Rider fan. I love everything about Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze, Danny Ketch, all of them. So great. And there was a really good run kind of recently, just by Ed Breeson. That was like, it kind of got cut short. I think it ended around the Absolute Carnage or Black King and Black storyline, I think is when it ended. It was really good, but it was short. I think it was only like 8 issues. But anyway, next year, if you didn't know, is the 50th anniversary of Ghost Rider. So to celebrate this milestone, Johnny Blaze, the original Ghost Rider, will be returning in February with an all new ongoing series written by Benjamin Percy with art by Corey Smith. So if you don't know Benjamin Percy, he's writing titles right now like Wolverine and X-Force. Corey Smith did the artwork for Conan the Barbarian. So it's going to be a great combination. And what they're talking about doing is the little description here is Johnny Blaze has the perfect life, a wife and 2 kids, a job in an auto repair shop, and a small town community that supports him. But Johnny isn't doing well. He has nightmares of monsters when he sleeps, and he sees bloody visions when he's awake. This life is beginning to feel like a prison, and there's a spirit in him that's begging to break out. So Percy goes on to talk about how he's such a big horror fan. He grew up reading Stephen King, John Carpenter, listening to Black Sabbath. He also talks about Ghost Rider is arguably the best designed, but inarguably the most heavy metal character in all of comics, which is probably a pretty fair statement. So he goes on to say, I'm really incredibly excited to be riding Shotgun with Ben Percy. Oh, I'm sorry. This is from Corey Smith to riding Shotgun with Ben Percy as we bring Ghost Rider screaming into his 50th anniversary. So it's cool. There's also talk about how they are planning on, you know, not forgetting about the past, but looking forward. They want to launch Ghost Rider into a new future while also, you know, touching on the past of him. There's been a lot of artwork going out. I think you sent it to me as well, but I saw it on Marvel's Instagram, the Ryan Stegman artwork that had like all the Ghost Riders, even the prehistoric Avengers BC one, Phantom Rider.
Yeah, I think that's going to be like a variant cover, I think, that they're doing, which is really interesting.
So it was really cool.
all the Carter Slade, yeah, Alejandro Jones on there, the Robbie Wright. There were so many. There
was, yeah, Vengeance. Awesome. I think Ghost Rider 2099 was on there. So, yeah, it's great, man. I'm excited. And you know what this means? Sorry, let me let you know. It comes out in February also, by the way. But when they do stuff like this, I mean, yeah, of course it's his 50th anniversary and they got to bring it back. But it always makes me think, okay, we're getting Ghost Rider news soon. Like, Marvel's smart about these things. They want to put out titles to get you back into it as they start announcing, you know, their characters. I mean, look at Eternals, new title. She-Hulk's getting a new title this spring as well.
Kate Bishop as well.
Kate Bishop.
Literally right before the show starts.
Right. So, I mean, Marvel does these things for a reason. So, hopefully, man, we'll be getting some Ghost Rider news. I know a lot of Midnight Suns talk and whatnot. So, I'm awesome. It's awesome. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Nice. Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a good year. And because it's bringing back the original one. Because I think,
right,
like you said, the last series only went about 7 or 8 issues, but it wasn't Johnny Blaze. It was Robbie Reyes, right?
No. The last one was actually Blaze and Ketch, which was great.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They brought
and you had Ketch come in, turn into the spirit of corruption, which is really cool.
Yes, that's right. We talked about this. One of your what are we currently reading? That's right.
Yeah, it was awesome. And he, because at the time and when it starts, Ghost Rider is Johnny Blaze is the king of hell at the time. He's like punishing Mephisto. Yep. Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, I do a Midnight Suns with like all Ghost Riders. Like, bring them all back. Have a team of Ghost Riders. Like, yeah, it'd be awesome, man.
Mm.
So,
yeah, that's some good stuff. So let's bounce back to me. Of course, if you haven't heard yet, there is some news surrounding the Batgirl movie. They, of course, showed off at DC Fandom. They had a nice quick little interview with the actress and as well as the directors at DC Fandom. Of course, we know that Leslie Grace is going to be playing Batgirl. And interesting news where they're coming, the villain. And I'm excited for this because I think he's a very underrated villain, but coming over at deadline.com, we have the possibly Firefly.
Hmm.
Going to be played by Brendan Fraser. Now, currently Brendan Fraser, a little overweight, currently in the Doom Patrol as, of course, you know, the Metal Man, Robot Man himself.
He's far away from his Encino Man days, that's for sure.
Yeah, or
the Encino Man body, that's gone.
Exactly. Way far away from that. So, I don't know. Of course, I don't think he'd be doing the stunts, but I could kind of see him being like a villain. Definitely. Of course, this is still not 100%. You know, a lot of people are still kind of running with this, but, you know, people are talking that, you know, him enjoying the role of, you know, Robot Man over at the Doom Patrol, he could be popping back up into another DC character. So, of course, there's the one, the only Garfield lies in the DC world is my favorite, the Firefly. First appearance is extremely old, extremely expensive, and I don't want to use the word, but he's just very strange when his first appearance was. But that was pre-crisis DC, pre-crisis, but post-crisis, man, he came back like awesome. He came back the version that he is now. I think in the Arkham Origins and as well as Arkham Knight, they did a fantastic job of introducing him, and he just looked badass. Of course, even in Batman Animated Series, the Batman Animated Series as well, he was, of course, he was a movie guy, and just, what was it? He basically turned to crime. He was a pyromaniac. It was just sadistic, and I feel like Brendan Fraser could play that, the sadistic role.
It'll be interesting. You know, honestly, Firefly's always kind of been one of those characters that's like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, I'm pretty indifferent on. But like, sometimes those characters, you know, you gotta bring them out, dust them off and try a new take on them. You know, I talked about it with like the Riddler take in the new Batman movie, like they're very much going like a serial killer, you know, aspect of like the Riddler. So he's not like campy and ridiculous. He's kind of like a scary murderer. Like, you could do the same kind of thing with Firefly. Make him, you know, like a serial killer, arsonist type person. Like, it could be dark. It could be dark and creepy. And I hope they keep him, like, not goofy. You know what I mean? Because I do feel some takes on him have been kind of, like, goofy, you know?
I don't know. I just can't see it being a goofy. Like, I get what you're saying, because I remember when they announced Ewan McGregor as Black Mask. I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Oh,
Black Mask is like that C-level Batman villain that is perfect to be put in a movie, because he's not like, he's not Two-Face. He's not the Penguin.
He's not over the top.
Villains that can't, you know, can go against another Bat family person. So the fact that you're bringing in Firefly, and me myself, like when that got announced, I immediately knew what issue to look for Batman, and I went out and bought a couple copies. So there was a mini series called Batgirl Year One, and it happened after they did, because of course, you know, there's the Batman Year One done by Frank Miller. They did a Year Two, then they did a Robin Year One miniseries, but then there was a Batgirl miniseries called Batgirl Year One, and the first few issues revolves around her just becoming Batgirl and her fighting Killer Moth, and no one cares about Killer Moth. But then in issue 5 starts the story arc where the first time she fights Firefly. So I went out and bought a bunch of copies of Batgirl Year One issue number 5. They're very cheap online. I bought them for like $5. If this happens, that is the first meeting, and I think it would be a good story arc, because those last few issues of this series are all about her fighting Firefly. So they're really taking it directly from this story. And I feel like, I think they even said it at DC Fandom when I watched the video, was that this is kind of like a younger version of Batgirl. So it's her still kind of up and coming. I think they did mention they may or may not have like a Bruce Wayne in there. We won't see Batman, but we may see Bruce Wayne. So
interesting
version. I don't know, but so get out. So go out there. That's kind of my spec book play right here for Batgirl, is Batgirl Year One, issue number 5, or just pick up the full 9-issue miniseries. It's a great read if you really love some Batgirl stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, what else do we got? Well, you had some more DC news, I thought. Or
I mean, we can definitely talk about some. I mean, Titans? I could talk DC all night. I could talk DC all night based on the DC fandom last week. But yeah, we can. Of course, season 3 ended of DC Titans, and they did announce at DC Fandom that they are going to be doing. And it was announced for a season 4. Of course, the main villain here in season 3 was, you know, they did a little bit of. They had Blackfire in there, which was something that we talked about pre-season 3. We didn't know where they were going to take this character. We knew Scarecrow was going to be there. We knew Jason Todd was going to be there as Red Hood. This season definitely took the Red Hood series, and me as a big Red Hood Jason Todd fan, I absolutely loved it. Thought he was great. Scarecrow kind of, you know, played off a different version of him. Not the way that I want him to be played as Scarecrow.
Agreed.
But again, it was announced for season 4. And possibly with the villain coming in season 4 is the Church of Blood with Brother Blood himself, which is another main Teen Titans villain. So going back to San Francisco, we're going to see where that's at. But I guess we can kind of give a little synopsis or review of season 4.
Yeah.
We really don't do too much DC stuff, of course. But overall, I thought the season in the beginning definitely was on a high. Right now, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the season, please skip over, because I am going to spoil a lot of things. I think the introduction of Tim Drake was interesting. I like how they didn't put immediately him into a Robin suit by the end of the series. You know, he kind of went with the Titans. Dick does say to him, you know, you're going to need a lot of training. You do see a little bit of action with him, which I think is interesting. Of course, very origin story, like he knows who everybody is. The Jason Todd aspect, unbelievable. Him, the episode with him and Hawk, like just sadistic, right?
Yeah,
like those first couple of episodes of him being Red Hood were just awesome. Again, I feel like the downside, I really thought the guy who played Scarecrow was a great actor. I just think they took the character in the wrong direction.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed the season as a whole. I think my biggest complaints were, so, you know, the Jason Todd stuff, like, I think I agree with you. The Jason Todd stuff was awesome. It started off great. And then around, like, the middle of the season, you know, it starts inevitably, like it always does. You got to find redemption for these people. And I honestly was like, there's no coming back. The dude blew up Hawk, bro. Like, even my wife was, like, so angry. She's like, I don't know how they forgive this person. Like, there's no coming back. He strapped a bomb to someone and blew them up, like a member of the team. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't crazy about that. I think I would have liked either don't blow up Hawk or do like the sadistic shit if you were going to kind of bring him back.
Yeah.
Or, you know, have him just operating still a little bit on the aggressive side. Like, even at the end when he starts to kind of become good again, so to speak, he starts like being less violent. And like, you know, in the early Red Hood comics, like, Red Hood's still murdering people. You know, it's only like recent iterations of Red Hood necessarily in like New 52 and Rebirth that he's stopped killing people. But even when he was like a quote unquote good guy at the beginning, like, he was still shooting people with guns. So that bugged me a little bit. I was super disappointed in the fact that I was like, okay, he's gotta put on the Scarecrow mask at some point. Like, at one, like, just put it on, bro. The fact that he didn't put on the Scarecrow mask was a massive letdown. I agree. I didn't really like the Scarecrow character that they played. He didn't do anything science-wise, really. I mean, he honestly was like more of like a tame Joker, you know, trying to, you know, poison the water supply type shit. Like, that's like a classic Joker move. So not really playing the psychology and like aspect up, I thought was a miss on that part. And then the same thing, my biggest complaint with Titans from season one to season two to season three is always the same. It's like, you rarely ever see the Titans fight as a team. Like, it's a couple of them fight here and there, but you never really have like a big battle necessarily with all of them fighting. And I think it's a bummer always. They need to fight a team. Like, Brother Blood, I don't know, whatever. Maybe, could be cool. I want them to fight a bad guy team, like another team where it's like 5-on-5. So you can see them all fighting. You know what I mean? That's what I want to say.
It's tough, I guess, really, to give everybody the screen time that everybody kind of deserves.
Right.
Like, there's always like two stories or three stories going on. You know, I think when you had the limbo world of Donna Troy, Tim Drake and Hawk, like, that was kind of Hawk's send off. That was a way to bring back Donna, bringing back Tim
and bringing back the original Dove.
Yeah.
It was just kind of cool.
Him at the end was, you know, that was a good send off for them. So that's done. Like, Hawk and Dove are completely gone. You know, I'm going to miss Mina Kelly. She's just so hot. God, she's awesome. You know, and I was expected to see more of, you know, Raven and her powers. I like how they've matured a little bit with her. You know, Beast Boy is definitely coming into his own. You know, we did get to see another version, a different animal that he transforms in. He's more of, you know, a fighter in this season by this time. But yeah, you're right. They don't have that fighting this together as a team. I think what was it? Maybe like the first two episodes, like when they're fighting and then they're on the news, like,
yeah,
you know, and that's the thing. You don't get that team aspect at all. It's more of a mature show where they're dealing with drama and issues, I feel like, than more of a team show like Doom Patrol is.
Right.
So I don't know. Let's see what season four brings. You know, there's tons of people that thoroughly enjoyed the season, and there's people that are like in between, and there's people that absolutely hate it because they were like, well, you know, they did the same thing with like Arrow. Like, you brought in Deathstroke, and that was the core season of Arrow.
Yeah,
you brought in Deathstroke in season two of Titans, and that was a great season because it was, you know, it brought them together as much as they could, and everybody loved it. And then this season was it was a semi miss because Scarecrow is not the Scarecrow.
Yeah, no,
they need to bring, you know, and I said this to you, I've said this to my brother. You know, you talking last week with the DC fandom, I started replaying DC Arkham Knight. Absolutely a great game. The Scarecrow in that, Scarecrow right now in Fear State, they need to do Matt Reeves' second Batman movie. If he does, it needs to be Scarecrow. It needs to be a horror movie. You're doing a detective story in the first movie. Do not bring in the Joker. Do Scarecrow. Do a horror-related movie, and it would be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It would be so cool.
So, I could talk about the DC fandom and all the stuff that I want, but we'll talk about other things. So, last but not least,
we're talking some Dune. Yeah, hell yeah.
Again, here's another thing. You may want to skip over this part if you're currently listening to the podcast because we are going to be spoiling Dune, just released last week in theaters as well as HBO Max. I've never read any of the books. I've never watched the original movie or the TV movie. It was, you know, from watching the trailers, it was very interesting. I was excited for it. I'll basically give my review. I'm sure, you know, Zach over there is going to be a lot more in depth because I'm sure he's read them and understands the lore. You know, they talk about it being the next Star Wars and Lord of the Rings is here. I don't think so. I watched it. It was a 2.5-hour movie. 2 hours into it, I was watching with my brother last Sunday and I was falling asleep. I'm sorry. Like, I just don't think it was going anywhere. You know, I said to my brother and I said, you know, like, oh, well, are they going to come out with a second one? Yes. At this point, they have announced that they are coming out with the part two in 2023. But it's like you brought in all these high grade A actors and actresses and you killed them off in the first movie. And I'm just like, no, like you had great people. And I'm sure that's obviously part of the story. And there's people that are sticking around for the second one that maybe shouldn't be there, but I don't know, man. I don't know. It wasn't for me. It really wasn't. It was a very slow burn. And for, you know, what's her name? Zendaya. You know, thanks for showing up the last 15 minutes of the movie. Like her, like, what is it? Her action time or whatever screen time was probably done in like a day. Like it was
She probably made a good amount of money for very little filming.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even say like what was my favorite part or the best part. Like there was nothing for me that stood out that I was just like, oh my God, this is awesome. This is like an epic movie. Like nothing like a Star Wars or a Lord of the Rings or I don't know, like anything, like a Game of Thrones moment. There was nothing in this first movie for me to be like, that was awesome. I loved it. It was really mediocre for me. And part of me is happy that I got to watch it on HBO Max, because if I would have sat there for 2.5 hours at the movie theater, I would have been completely pissed off. Not as much as I would have been pissed off watching Venom, but it was there. So take over, Zach. Tell us what you thought about the movie.
So, you know, I've read the first two books. So I read Dune and I read Dune Messiah. I will say this about Dune. It is probably the greatest science fiction novel ever written. It is quintessential science fiction. And people might not agree with me when I say the greatest, and maybe I'm wrong too, but I guess what I mean is I should have prefaced this by saying the greatest like science fiction series that's ever written. Like, 'cause you could take like 1984, like a solo book like that, or Ray Bradbury, Fahrenheit 451, sci-fi, you know, great, great books. Individual books like that. But Dune is the epitome of science fiction series and like lore. And yeah, it's rough, man. Like the first book is great. Dune Messiah is great too. If I remember, it's been a long time since I've read them, but it's a little much. It logs you down and it's very world building. And I can see why it's difficult to watch the first movie, especially with, you know, if you're not familiar with the words and like the terms. I mean, it's made up languages and words that you're like the Bene Gesserit. You're like, what the hell is that? And like what they're talking about. If you don't, I would see it. If you have no idea what Dune is about, you have nothing. You just know it's Dune and okay, cool. It looks like a space movie, whatever. And you watch it. I could definitely understand why people would be a little bit like, what the hell did I just watch? You know, it's definitely probably made more for the fans of Dune, like people who know and you go into it. The original movie is one of those like horribly awesome movies that are just, it's so terrible. But you watch it and it's good in a weird way. It's campy and horrible, but, yeah, you know, the characters and stuff, spoiler alert a little bit, there's a chance those characters can come back. Like, Dune has like this whole, like they call them Golas. It's kind of like, a resurrected version of someone who's like almost, I don't really remember exactly like what they are. They're not the real person necessarily, but they're like a recreation of the person. So you do see some characters come back in later books. In fact, Duncan Idaho, who Jason Momoa plays, I think he's the only character who's in every single of like the original six books that Frank Herbert wrote. And I might get murdered if I'm wrong by like diehard Dune fans. So I apologize. Don't kill me. Like I said, I only read like the first two. I think I got into the third one, which is God Emperor, I think is what it's called. And I got stopped. I couldn't read them anymore. And I don't remember why. Sometimes you get in those weird realms, you know, like it's not the right time to read that book, like for what's going on. Like if you're not feeling it. Mm-hmm. I definitely have a desire when I'm done with Wheel of Time to come back and I might give him another shot. It's super sci-fi though. I liked the movie. I thought it was very enjoyable. It was slow, but I didn't think it was bad. Like I actually was pretty like in it most of the way. They left out some big things, which I thought was strange. They left out like one of the big villains, the Harkonnen Fade, who's played by Sting in the original one. He's kind of like Paul's arch enemy, so to speak, in like the early novels. And I thought it was strange that he wasn't there. But there were some takes that like, I honestly talked about it with another person who a friend of mine, who's kind of more familiar with Dune as well. And I was like, you know what, as I'm talking about it, you know, like I'm okay with some of this stuff being left out because you world build so much. It's too much. You know what I mean? Like you gotta world build a little bit later, you know? So I don't know.
You know what the thing was that, the one thing, and I said this to my brother and even my mother, because my mother watched it on HBO Max before and she wanted to ask me. And there was even parts where we were pausing the movie and my brother and I were, you know, I was trying to explain it to him, like how this is my interpretation. I was just like, well, this is the Emperor and he sends these people to this planet to do this and that.
Right.
But like they never explain what the voice is. You know, like I learned that on like YouTube reviews of what the voice is. If you watch Star Wars for the first time, A New Hope, like you get the Jedi, like you understand the Force, you know, like.
Right. That's true.
In Dune, like there's no explanation. It's just like the mother trained him to like do this thing to almost be like the Force, to like force somebody to do something, but there's never an explanation in it. And maybe to all those Dune fans out there, they're gonna explain it more. And yes, like you said, I know that was another thing when watching reviews of it, as the book explains so much, so how can you cram everything that's into a first book into a movie,
right,
without making it like a 3.5 hour movie? Or eventually maybe down the line, like with Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings, you're going to get the extended version of Dune, which will be like another 45 minutes, which, hey, maybe it'll flush out some things, because that's the only way that I can watch Lord of the Rings now is through the extendeds. I hate watching the regular.
Well, they're just so great too, the extended.
Yeah. And it's not like 45 minutes of like stuff that is unnecessary. Everything that was cut out is awesome and necessary, in my opinion.
Yeah, so he announced, you know, the director announced that he envisions like a trilogy of Dune, and it will kind of cover Dune and Dune Messiah, I think the mm-hmm. second book. Tentatively, I think it's kind of his game plan. But, you know, yeah, give it some time. I think it's going to do well. I think the next one will be great. I think you'll get more explanation with the voice. If I remember, it's been a really long time, but there's like when he kind of is with the Fremen, you start to like get a lot of more information on like his training, and maybe that's when they'll tackle all the Bene Gesserit stuff a little bit more in depth. But yeah, like I get it when people are like, I don't know what the hell what they're talking about or what's going on. You know, it's very, like a la Game of Thrones in terms of like the politics and everything. Like I had to like kind of same thing. I had to pause it and explain to my wife. She's like, so what's going on with the Harkonnens and like, and Atreides, House Atreides, and the Emperor, and why are his soldiers there and stuff? And it's like, okay, well, it's all like about power and politics, you know, a little bit. And they didn't really go into the spice stuff either too much. Like the spice, like the, I can't remember what they're called. There's like a merchant guild for this. Maybe it's called the Spice Guild. I don't really remember. But they're like the super powerful like guild in the universe. And they didn't even like really talk about them at all, which I thought was strange. But like I said, maybe we'll get more in the future. So I liked it. I can't wait for more.
All right. Well, that's our spoiler review of Dune. I know. Well, whether you check it out on HBO Max or you go see it in the movie theaters, I'm sure if you go see it in IMAX, it probably looks amazing. It does look amazing on HBO Max on a big screen TV, and surround sound was awesome. But, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't do it for me. It's not my next Star Wars or Lord of the Rings. So that's all the comic book, TV, and movie news we have for the evening. Of course, rounding out the evening for episode 42. What are we currently reading? Always keeping it, trying to keep it hard this month for Halloween. I'll go first this week because I have an interesting book that I completely didn't know about was, I would say, tied to another series until probably a good like 3 or 4 pages into it. And I'm talking about Nikita Hall's Nightmare Blog from Image Comics.
Son of a bitch. That's what I was going to pick too. And I was like, no way he's picking this one.
Well, then I guess we could both speak about it. But
did you get the, great. I got this one. I got the retailer appreciation variant.
I did not get that one. I got the one that has some crazy, almost Kaluthu character on it. But that's funny. See, this is what happens. Zach and I don't talk about like what we're going to pick until like we do the show, because I want to hear what his he picks. And, you know, he wants to hear what I pick, because, of course, we all know about what happened with Stray Dogs and other books. And even when we have guests on. So I guess I'll talk about it for a little bit. How about this? I'll kind of give the synopsis of what the series is.
And... Oh, you can talk about it completely. Go for it.
Yeah. All right. So Nikita Hall's Nightmare Blog is from
Nita. Nita
Hall's Nightmare Blog is from Image Comics. So Jamie Sangster might have left Maryland for the vampire-infested city of Killadelphia. So this is a spin-off series of the Killadelphia, which I didn't realize.
I didn't either.
But there is still untold evil lurking in the streets of Baltimore. The demon Corson has surfaced from the underworld to possess a once wrong man, and his vengeance will come at the cost of humanity's despair. But Jimmy's former lover, Nita Hall, a woman with demons of her own, has begun a quest to root the evil out in her city. Guided by the ghost of her dead brother, she must come to terms with her own past, lest she join her brother in a state worse than death. So this is going to be, I believe, a 5 or 6 issue mini series. I've only read like the first few issues of Killadelphia, and I just wasn't a fan of it. But I read this first issue, and again, we're keeping horror for this month for October. This was a great issue. There was some awesome killings. There was some crazy decapitations and demons in it. I really like this, and I think I'm going to stick with this one because this is completely different than the vampires that are in the Killadelphia series, which I just couldn't get into.
Yeah.
I think she's an interesting character with her, you know, quote unquote dead brother. You find out about that. Of course, you find out a little bit more of her backstory, because that's something that you really didn't see too much in, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, in the Killadelphia series with Jimmy, because I only read the first like story arc. But what are your thoughts on this, Zach?
I liked it too. I thought it was cool. I liked the heaven and hell kind of tie-in aspect. You know, they're talking about the creation and God and whatnot. And I thought that's cool. That was really cool. I also really enjoyed that. I was like, oh, what do you mean? Like Nightmare Blog? What the hell are you talking about? But it's kind of like a modern Ghostbusters, you know, she like puts something out there and it's like, hey, if you see something, you know, respond to my blog and I'll come help you. I thought that was kind of a cool, you know, modern take on that kind of trope, if you will. Yeah, it was cool, dude. I actually really enjoyed it. And I'll probably keep reading it as well.
Yeah. I just saw the cover and I bought it and I was just like, you know, let me give this a shot. And I had no idea that it was an expanded universe, like a spinoff of the Killadelphia series. And I think sometimes that's what's always good about a lot of these series is sometimes it's unexpected. Like we all know about House of Slaughter. I didn't even read House of Slaughter 1.
Me
that
neither
just came
yet.
Out this week. You know, do I anticipate that it's going to be as good as, or as great as Something is Killing the Children? I don't know. But I feel like this first issue of Nightmare Blog was a good expansion or spinoff series of the Killadelphia series in itself. And I'm sure hardcore fans understand it, but if you're just someone like a comic goer like me who isn't into everything Image and Boom or, you know, IDW, just to pick up a random number one issue and realize that it's part of like the same universe, I think that's great. Like, So
yeah. So I have a side, a second one also. It's kind of horror themed, and it's you know, it makes sense because of what's kind of going on right now. So I'm rereading Lock and Key, and Lock and Key season 2 just came out on Netflix as well. I believe it was this past Friday. And I remember when the first season came out, I tore through Lock and Key, IDW from Joe Hill, son of Stephen King, if you don't know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was great. I loved it. And I was really excited as I'm watching season 2. I'm like, oh man, this really makes me want to, I can't really remember how it happened in the comics. So it makes me want to reread it. So I had actually like pre-ordered this a while ago, the compendium, the Lock and Key compendium that has every single issue in it. Kind of like an omnibus type situation. And it's great. It's really, really cool. I love Lock and Key. If you haven't read it, check it out. If you like the show, definitely read the comics, because I think the comics are definitely, they're better. It's a cool, don't get me wrong, the show is awesome. And format has to change. You have to develop your show for, you know, obviously television rather than print for comics. But it's worth a read. It's really, really good. So check that out. Awesome. That's all I got.
Cool. Well, I love being back together on a Thursday.
Today. Hell yeah.
Thursday night. It's always good to do the podcast, especially when you've been off for 2 weeks. I hate not being here, you know, chatting with you, Zach, and talking about comics and the movie stuff. So again, episode 42 is in the books. Great episode. Looking forward to the last 2 months of the year. We got a ton of stuff coming up. We're going to be having some guests on. Really interesting guest that I really want to have on hopefully soon. Hopefully it'll be next week, if not the week after that. That's all really I have. What about you, Zach?
That's it, man. I'm looking forward to Halloween next weekend. And like I said, everything's kind of, weather's cooling down. It's my favorite time of the year. And we got holidays coming up. So yep. It's good. It's good, man. I'm excited. A lot of good comic book stuff coming up as well. And I can't wait. So yep. Glad to have you back. Glad your back's working.
Thanks, man. Yep. Comic-Con podcast will continue for the rest of the year. We were pushed through for the last 2 months. And speaking of October, nobody really knows this too much, but Halloween is actually my birthday.
Oh. So
in about 3 days, right?
Hit him with a pumpkin.
Yeah. So Halloween, baby. So that's it. Getting out of here. Comic-Con podcast episode 42. We out. Later.